your bank account was with zero balance, whether at one point in 2014 you were pushed in a corner and you didn't know what was happening, thank God that you're still here. Amen? You are never defeated. You are never overcome by the power of evil. And he gives us the reason to come. What a great opportunity for us to come into the house of the Lord at the Sunday, the 28th. Is it the 28th of 2014 to come and give our gratitude to the Lord? Amen? He has been good to us. Has he not been good to you? Amen. If you believe so, turn to your neighbor, tell them the Lord has been good to me. Yes, in spite of everything that you had to go through, the Lord has been good to you. In spite of the mountains that came close to overturning your life, the Lord has been good to you. Amen. In spite of the sickness that you may have had in the course of the year, it never killed you. The Lord has been good to you. Hallelujah. In spite of the way the devil wanted to kill your children, they're still alive. Hallelujah. In spite of bad reports that you had, even from the government that you wanted to be deported, you're still here today. Amen. You have cause to rejoice. Do you know how many times you get into your car and you go to work back and forth throughout the year? And you know, do you want to tell me that the devil never planned for you to have an accident? But you know when he wanted to come and kill you, Pastor Francis, you remember that? That Mteremuko near Grand Prairie, when he sent that 18-wheeler wanting to come and kill you, God said, no, 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 you cannot touch my beloved. He has protected you 365 days throughout the year. Amen? Glory be to Jesus. Whenever the devil intended to do harm for you, God protected you. Amen. There is an unseen power, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Amen? Hallelujah? Has God been good to us? Oh, surely God has been good to us. Amen. And we thank God. We may not have had as much money as we may have wanted, but tell you what, I am still breathing this free oxygen of my Lord. I am still under a shelter. I have not been chased away out of my house. There is food on my table every day. Amen. I may not have all that I wanted, but at least I don't go hungry every day. God has provided for me. Praise be to God. God has been good to us. Amen. And last Sunday we were talking about, by the way, I would like to welcome all of you. It's good to see Sister Joyce all the way from Kenya. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My sister, I want you to know that we prayed for you. The Lord who have brought you back, it took the hand of the Lord. So it's good to see you. It's always good to see Sister Purity and her beloved husband, Ben. Hallelujah. And Claire is here. Oh, my! Oh, come here. You have to come. Come before I preach. Come, you have to greet us. I didn't even know that you're there. Praise the Lord. Can you appreciate Claire? She is the one who represents us in the government. She is actually where Obama lives. So tell us whether you've been to the White House and how things are going. Maybe you could have talked to him. So that's why we had this favor of the immigration thing.
Come maybe. On, well, okay, so I'm in school in Washington, D.C., and I like it so much. I'm studying public relations. I like D.C. for that reason. There's so many opportunities for PR there, and there's always things to do, especially now with everything going on with all these race-relation issues. There's always, like, protests and things going on, so it's very interactive. I like it. I don't get to come home as much as I like to, but when I'm home, I'm always happy to be here. So it's good.
So please, if you have a message to President Obama, you might just reserve it after the service, okay? And that's a girl to take the message on our behalf. Amen. It's good to see you, Claire. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to read from the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6, chapter number 6, 8, and I think I'll read just a few verses, and then we'll go from there. Last week, we started on a topic felt the Lord leading us to speak about Zechariah, and I didn't even have a clue how the Lord would continue. It's kind of like small bomblets that have been exploding in my heart. The Lord speaking to us about depending upon his strength. Amen? And I believe that even as we usher ourselves into the year 2015, God, I feel the voice of God so heavy upon my heart that God wants us to depend upon him in 2015. You know, sometimes it's very easy and it can be very natural when you have a problem to say, okay, what am I going to do? And I know we men are culprits to this. And I know many women, many wives here, if you have a husband, if you're married and you're a lady who is married to a man, you can identify with what I'm saying. You sometimes speak your issues, okay, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do the other? And you know how quick we come with solutions. Oh, don't worry, this is what I'm going to do. And 90, well, maybe 50 of the time, most of the times, those things we are not able to accomplish. But I believe God has set in us some things that we can accomplish. But even as we march on into the year 2015, beloved, I want you to join me because I feel in my heart that God wants to do some extraordinary things even in 2015, not only as a congregation, but on our personal lives. Are you listening to me? As my person, you know, to my personal life, I want God to explode some things. Things that are not just going to be mundane. I want when people talk about Pastor Tony, they'll talk, oh, that pastor who moves in signs and wonders. But you know, for God to start moving in signs and wonders, I have to pull myself a notch higher in relationship with God. Amen? I want God to give us a name by himself. Praise be to God. I want God to take us to a level whereby we can solely depend upon him instead of the things that are going to happen to us in 2015. And Jesus said that in this earth, you're going to have trouble. It doesn't mean that 2015 is going to just be bread and butter. As a matter of fact, 2015 to some of us might be a very hard year. But you know what? It doesn't matter how hard it's going to be, because when our dependency is on God, when our dependency is on our God, then things become a little bit lighter. Amen? Things will become easy to even to propagate through those things. I know there are some things that even as you come to the end of 2014, you'd have dreamt and you'd have wanted, and you lifted up a prayer before the Lord that, Lord, in this 2014, I want this and this. You laid down some items before the Lord. And maybe some of those things have not been accomplished yet. We are not going to give up just because those things, we've come to the end of the year and those things have not been accomplished yet. God is looking, has a good plan for us. God has a wonderful plan for each and every one of us. And you know, this is my thinking. If God can really come into my personal life, I'm not even talking about my family. I'm just talking about from a personal level. If I can have an experience with God, if I can be a God chaser, if I can pursue his presence, think about what would happen if all of us would be God chasers and we come together as a congregation. There will be an explosion in this place. Amen? But it will take the dedication of each and every one of us. Amen. To say that in 2015, Lord, I pledge my allegiance to you. I want to move an extra notch. I want to move an extra mile. It could be maybe in my prayer life. If I was praying 5 minutes, I want to extend it to 15 minutes a day. If you're praying 1 hour, I want to extend it to maybe 1.5 hours. Whatever thing that you've been doing in 2014, dedicate your life that I'm going to go an extra mile. And you'll see what God is going to do for us. Praise be to God. We looked at a man called Zechariah. You know, Zechariah was a man of God. And he was at his late age. Let me tell you, God really surprises people. It doesn't matter whether you're his servant, whether you're a minister or a priest, or you've been given a duty. Sometimes God would want to surprise you so that you may know. and I have a message here. No Sunday school to stay with your parents. Yeah, please, I think I announced that. Please try to stay with your parents. God has a way to surprise us in such a way to push us to our next level so that we can prove who he is. And let me tell you, God is ready and prepared to show up for us. He is ready to show off as he showed off for Job. Amen. Remember when God came to accuse Job before the presence of the Lord? And the Lord is asking the devil, where have you been roaming to and from? I want you to know that the devil is in the business of roaming to and from, looking for somebody he can devour. And when God spoke to the devil and asked him, where have you been? And he asked him, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, you know what? I give you permission to go and torment him, but only his soul do not touch. So I want you to know that in the pilika pilika for the devil moving back and forth, maybe he has considered you. Maybe he has come to your address, you know, but he cannot touch you unless the Lord gives him permission. But you know, God gave him permission to touch Job because he knew who Job was. He was well committed before the hands of the Lord. And you know what? Pastor Ruto one time preached, and I was in a meeting, and he spoke, I think it was one of, I can't remember whether there was a, I think there was a funeral service, and I went there, and he spoke, you know, in the book of Job in a way that I had never seen it. That God wanted to prove, he wanted to prove to the devil that these people, that Job will never praise me for nothing. Because what the devil spoke to, what the devil wanted to prove to God, he said, hasn't Job done all these things for nothing? Haven't you not put a hedge of protection just for nothing? Lord, you have given, you know, the devil is speaking to the devil is speaking to the Lord and is telling him, Lord, you have bribed Job. That's why he is committed to you. You have given him kitu kidogo. You know, back in Africa, we say, you know, you give kitu kidogo, right? You've given him something small. That's why there is a hedge of protection round about him. Is he not doing this because you have protected him? And the Lord wanted to prove the devil wrong. And he said, okay, I give you permission to go and touch Job. You torment him, give him sickness. You know, you can take all his children, his animals, but to the man's soul, do not touch. And let me, you know the agony. You read the book of Job and you see what happened to Job. Job went through hell and high water to a point whereby even his wife, very closest person in his life, told him, why don't you curse God and die? I cannot stand to see you sick the way you are sick. I cannot stand to see you being in torment and in sores and in wounds and all these things that you are going through. And Job speaks to his wife and tells him, why do you speak like a foolish woman? You know, do we only expect good things from the Lord and not bad things? In other words, what God's intention towards Job was, he wanted to prove the devil wrong that, you know what, I have not protected Job, or Job is not doing all these things because I protected him. Amen? He is doing it as just because of his allegiance to me. Are you listening to me? Very powerful. That our service to the Most High God is not because that it's not because of his protection that he has given us. We don't do things to the Lord because we don't give our commitment or our services to the Lord just because he protects us. But we serve him because of who he is. Let me tell you, when we get that revelation in our hearts that we will serve the Lord regardless of the things that we go through. That when I'm sick, I am going to serve the Lord. When I'm without money, when my pockets are empty, I'm still going to sing the song of the Lord. Hallelujah. When everything seems like it's going haywire in my family and there doesn't seem to be a direction, everything around me is so hard and it so looks like it's crumbling all upon me, I am still going to lift up my hand and serve the Lord. And God proved his point. And after that, you know, after Job went, whatever things that he went through, he never died. But then we see the second chapter of his life. What does the Bible say? That God gave him double for everything that he had lost. I am telling you the truth. Very, very, I say unto you, whatever you suffer for the cause of Christ, it is a reward for it. In the book of Ephesians, God says that any good work, no good work that anybody does, whether free, whether a slave or free, will go unrewarded. I want to tell you this, that whatever you do good, whatever good you do for your brother, whatever good thoughts that you have for your sister, whatever good thing that you do for your other, for your neighbor, let me tell you, it doesn't go unrewarded. And God sees in the sacred places. God sees even where man cannot see. God reaches out where eyeballs cannot focus into. Nothing good that you've ever done to anybody will ever go unrewarded. Are you listening to me? Do not grow weary. Even as we get into 2015, there might be reports that discourages you. There might be medical reports that will come and tell you that, you know what, you're not going to make it in the next 6 months. There are going to be reports that will tell you that your children are failing in their school, in their classes. Let me tell you, God has given you power and authority to counteract any reports that you hear from the system or from the devil. When you hear those reports, open up your mouth and declare that my children are going to be successful. When you hear reports that my bank account is growing zero, tell God, declare from your mouth that God has blessed me with abundance. I'll be a lender to many and a borrower to none. It can happen. Activate those words because it's so much. Everything that you'll ever be is within you. You have the potential to succeed. Even as we cross over from 2014 to 2015, everything that regards your success is within you. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how it's going to take. It took Joseph when he was 17 years and he got into Egypt. Things got worse from worse to worse. It's like he was getting from the frying pan into the fire. But every moment he never gave up. Oh, I'm here to encourage somebody that you do not serve God because of the things that he will do for you. Because when you serve God because of the things that he'll do for you, it will come to an end. But when you decide to serve God because of who he is, oh, great things are going to come your way. It might seem at the moment that you are downcast and that there's nowhere you're going. And many people might speak even against you. But the God of heaven looks at you. The God of heaven has a good report concerning you. The God of heaven says, I can see a light at the end of the tunnel. I will lift you up, my daughter. I will lift up you above, my son. If only you can tarry, I am here to show you up. If only you can wait upon me. God wants to show off. He wants to say, you know what? This my daughter called Sister Leah, in spite of the things that she has gone through, I want to prove to the world, I want to prove the world wrong that this daughter stayed and got put in the presence of the Lord. She abandoned herself in my presence. And this is the time to show myself off on her behalf. Let me tell you, when God shows off on your behalf, you don't need even to advertise yourself. People will know that you're blessed. As you drive, as you walk, and as you speak, men and women will know that you're blessed. Glory be to God. There is a power that is innate in you, that is locked up within your insides, that when it is released, the devil is at ease. If the devil is troubled. Glory be to Jesus. And you're going to read the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 15. I'll read a few verses and then we'll see the story. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. And the servant of the Lord, who is Elisha, he speaks unto him in verse number 16. And he tells him, do not be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open up his eyes so that he may see. The Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Somebody say, praise be to God. Now, this is a story that is given in the book of 2 Kings. You can go read at home. There was a king of Aram who was at war with Israel. And so he, you know, the way when like a country like America is fighting Saddam Hussein, or is fighting like the Iranian regime, or you've seen like wars in Afghanistan, there's a lot behind the scenes that we may not really know. Even when you read CNN, you may not really understand the things that really go behind the scenes. That comes because there's so much. There's like the seeking of intelligence. There's exercises that are done, and these are done by the military. You know, they are done by the Pentagon. Some of those things are top secrets. You may not even know. You know, first of all, they have to understand what kind of a weaponry, what kind of a system they are fighting with. In other words, there's a lot of intelligence that is sought out, and so as they As the king of Aram was organizing this warfare against the children of Israel, the Bible says that he organized certain camps to be at this strategically at a certain point, and other camps to be at a strategic point, and they laid out their war machinery in order to come against the army of the Israelites. And something happened, because every time they would lay like a trap, or they would put themselves on a camp or camp at a certain place ready to ambush the Israeli army, they realized that they had already known their plans. And the king of Aram wondered. He wondered, there must have been an informer in their military who would reveal the secrets that he had. And he sent a word, and he called his armies together, and he said, there has to be somebody among you who steals our secrets and informs, or an informer who normally discloses our secrets and our motives even to the Israeli army. And then they sent out word to investigate who was among them, and they said, they came up to realize that there was no one who was really going against the king of Aram, but there was a certain man of God. Somebody say, a man of God. Oh, Jesus, I love this. There was a certain man of God who normally reveals the secrets, as they said, everything that the king of Aram discusses with his wife in his bedroom. I looked at that and I said, whoa. I said, the Bible says that Elijah, and by extension, Elisha, was just a mere man like you and me. But for a man to have an ability to know exactly what goes up in the camp of the enemy, there must have been something special to us, because it doesn't happen to anybody. And when you investigate the life of Elisha, he was a prophet of God. But this man received a double portion from Elijah. And Elijah was a man just like us, but he had a sovereign, he had a great connection with his God. Remember, Elijah is the man, is it Elijah or Elisha who called fire from heaven and destroyed all the prophets of Baal? I mean, for a man to have such an audacity to say, you know what, pour water on this altar. Huh? Pour it over, let it overflow with water. Call on your gods, maybe they might be dead. Yeah? Let them do something. And God wanted to show off on behalf of Elijah. Amen? And this guy, Elisha, the prophet, had the double portion of Elijah. And God gave him such a favor, and he revealed secrets to him. See, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, seek me, and I will show you things that your eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, things that have never been known, you shall know, if only we seek God. And as we get into 2015, I want us to know that God wants us to take us to a certain level. He wants us to take us to a certain level so that we can intercede for our governments. And I heard the other day, I went to one of my spiritual mom's meeting, and she was castigating the church in general. You know, you remember when there was this Kanyari thing that was going on, especially in Africa, in Kenya? I went to a funeral one time, and I found, I'm not really advocating that what he did was wrong. It was completely wrong. What he did was, I'm not advocating that it was right, you know. But it would be unfair for us, the members of the church, to remove, kind of like pull off all our clothes in public and show what really is going on. And my spiritual mother was saying, when she was confronted with this issue, this is what she said. She said, you know what, even in the Old Testament, we had false prophets, okay? We had false prophets even in the day. But it is not the time for the church to really, the fact that that man did the wrongful thing doesn't mean that everybody in the church is awful or is doing the things that he did, amen? And we are there to protect the church. The church of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that I'll build up my church and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And when I went to this funeral service, there was a mambolezo going on. I found these people waiting for the preacher. And guess what they were watching? They were watching all these things, interviews. And I saw some people there who have been in church for a long time. And I told them, brethren, it is not the time even to have our children on the front line to show them what happens in some place in Kenya, somebody just defaming the name of Christ. We are supposed to be defenders of the truth. And the fact that we are supposed, of course, to voice our voices and concern against that man who has decided to come out of the faith and do wrong things, but we're not supposed to measure on the minus. Hello? Sometimes I realize, somebody said this, the problem we're having in the general church, by the way, I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center, we measure on the minus and we minor on the measures. We measure on the and we minor on the measures. And that is the plan of the devil. He would want us to be, you know, to be involved in those little things. Oh, you know, your cat chased my dog. Now your cat has eaten my cat, and now your cat has given birth to a cow. You know those things, those parodies are personal, they're just cheap politics. Generally, the devil would want us to dwell on those minor things. Oh, look at now, Gide is not even talking to me. You know, and I can spread the whole thing just because Gide doesn't want to talk to me. Maybe he had a bad day. And maybe what God is telling me is not to complain, but go on my knees and pray for him. Listen, church, remember the message that we preached here another day about complaining? God is still speaking to us not to complain about things that happen. If we can convert 3 complaints in the church today, the church of Jesus Christ, convert, you know, for 3 complaints you make a prayer for on behalf of somebody. Let me tell you, there will be such a move of God in the church. Yeah, say, these 3 complaints, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to pray, even 15 minutes. But the devil is working hard so that we can minor on the majors and measure on the minors. How many souls are getting lost in Dallas? When was the last time that you knelt down and passionately prayed for souls in Dallas? There's a reason why God brought us to this city. You don't live in Tennessee. You don't live in Indiana. You don't live in New Jersey. But God positioned you in Dallas, Texas. You don't even live in Nairobi, Kenya. You don't even live in Nakuru, Kenya. It is good to pray for your city, where you come from. It's good. Pray for Nyeri, Sister Purity, that there will be salvation. Pray for Kiambu, Sister or Brother Will. Is that where you come from? Pray for Naivasha, Pastor Francis. But God has positioned you in Dallas. When was the last time you passionately, you said, God, give this city. Lord, let the people, God, stop in their hearts. I may not really knock on every door because I'm fearing they might gun me out when I knock on their door. But God, you can visit them at night. Reveal your love to them, Lord. Reveal your love. Cause them to go to church. Let them hear the word of the Lord so that they can be saved. When was the last time you did that? I am challenging us, church, that it's time to measure on the measures. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was this servant called Elisha, and he says, this army, the army of Aram, they said, oh, you need to know there's a man of God. Oh, hallelujah. This man of God, he reveals, he knows the secrets that you talk with your wife in your bedroom. He knows everything that we are planning. And because he knows these things, his God has revealed those things to him, and he has been reporting this to the Israeli government. And that's why when we camp on this area, they find out because God has revealed to the man of God, and the man of God has revealed it to the Israeli army. Are you listening to me? And the king of Aram said, you know what? If this is the problem, I want you to get the finest chariots and all the horses and a strong force, and we are going to get hold of this man of God. You know, I was wondering, you know, the chariots of horses in those days are the common day artillery, right? The tanks. You'll never see chariots of war right now. You cannot see that America is sending chariots of horses to Afghanistan. They said jet fighters. The F-16. No, actually, it's not the F-16s now. What they have upgraded. What do they call? The Stealth, you know? Those that, you know, it can go like 1 hour, you're hearing the voices, you know, there's something that passed here 1 hour ago. It is faster than the sound itself. It has done its work and gone back to the base. That's when you heard, oh, there's a voice that, was that a plane that passed and it already landed? It is the common day tanks. And he sends them to just get hold of that one man of God. Huh? And they surrounded the city. And I wondered, why would they take such a big battalion to go get hold of this one man? And the Lord revealed to me, and he told me that the enemy knows the amount of potential that one Christian can cause. And he will do whatever it takes to come and get hold of them. And he knows that he cannot just send weakling demons, because you can chase them by the words of your tongue. You can say, in the name of Jesus, I take power and authority over every demonic force. And let me tell you, they will fall on their ground. And that's why the devil, when he comes, he wants to get hold of you. He will not just send the cheap demons who are demoted just a week ago, but he will send gigantic people who are demonic demons that are mighty to come and get hold of you. But I thank God, because he protects you. And when they came to besiege the city, when the servant of the Lord, as we read, he opened up his eyes, he was worried, because all he could see were chariots. See, the king of Aram trusted on his chariots, but the God of Elisha, he had greater plan for him. It was time to show and to prove who his God was. But Elisha, the man of God, I believe God showed him already. He was not even perturbed. He could not even, the Bible doesn't say that he was worried, or he was moving up and about in astonishment, or in worry of what he was going to do. But what he did was to tell the Lord, open up my servant's eyes, that he may see that those that are on our side are greater than those that are on their side. I want to put it to you, no matter what you go through, there's some things that your two eyeballs cannot set yourself or create a focus onto. There are things that your mind cannot even imagine. If God can open up our eyes and see the greatest armies that surround us, that are fighting for us when we are asleep, that the devil, many, many times in 2014, Pastor Francis, he sent some demons to come and kill you. But unbeknown to you, there were forces all around you, surrounding your children wherever they are. As they go to school, God sends hounds of angels that your eyeballs cannot see. I'm here to announce to you, there are things that you physically cannot know. There's a power that you cannot even feel. There is some things that you can, God has not allowed you to see. Oh God Almighty, I thank God, because even as I move, I know that there is a greater army that surrounds me. In spite of the plan of the devil wanted to kill your child. The devil wanted to annihilate them and to hand them over to some demons. But God, the God that you serve, say, no, the child of my child. It is time to show up and to show off on behalf of my child. There are things that you cannot see with your eyeballs. But the fact that you do not see, Brother Gideon, doesn't mean that they are not, do not exist. Hallelujah. Open up his eyes so that he may see. Open up his eyes that he may see. And when he was open up his eyes, he went back and settled, because he knew this is a game changer. If God can show me things that I cannot see by my eyes, things that these people cannot even see, this is a game changer. In 2015, choose God. Choose to get your relationship deeper with the Lord. Pray harder. Read the word of the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and he will come and strengthen you. I was telling people here, we met here on a Christmas day. For those who are able to come, you know, we just came and joined our hands. We want to pray. And I felt the Lord speaking to me. And he led me into the book of Isaiah 40, the last few verses. Thank you, Pastor Chi, because you showed me that. You know, and this is what the Lord spoke to me. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that wait upon God, if you depend upon the Lord, he shall renew your strength. Are you hearing me, church? What happens to marathon runners? They run and they grow weary, right? If you run about 20 times in this church, trust me, you're going to go. Have you seen somebody who has not even run? Let me tell you. I warn you, by the way. If you have not run the last, say, 1 week, or you have not done hard exercise, don't run harder, because you can die. You need to start slowly, okay? Like maybe mark timing on one place. You develop the heart rate so that the heart rate can remove and unclog some things that have not been unclogged for some time. But every runner can tell me, or anybody who does some exercises can tell me, that you grow weary.
Yeah? You grow weary. You can grow tired. But the Bible says that those that wait upon God, those that wait upon his strength, those that are waiting God and saying, God, like Moses said, Lord, if you're not going to take us out of here, if your presence is not going to go with us, please don't even bother, because we don't want to go. Because we go, if we go, we shall go with the might, the strength of our might. But we don't know who we are meeting. But if your presence goes with me, Pastor Chi, my God, if your presence goes with me, no matter what I meet on my route, no matter who I encounter, I know that I'm going to be a victorious. I'm going to be victorious. No matter who, it doesn't matter whether it's a Goliath. No matter who I encounter, this is the confidence that I have that I will be victorious. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that those who run, they will not grow weary. Right? And those who walk will never faint. Can you imagine somebody goes, he goes like this. You know, you're going. There's no sign even that you're breathing. You're going. You're going. Like 30 times. And some people you started with. Why? Because they're trusting on their own strength. But when you engage the strength of the Lord, when you engage the power of the Lord, you will go and people will be wondering, I don't understand this sister. She's there in the prayer meeting. This sister is always prayer, waking up. This sister is just praying. She's working hard. She's really there. She's praying. She's doing all these things. She's not growing weary. Amen. You will walk and you never faint. Amen. And then the Lord took me to, and I'm almost concluding, he took me to John 4, the Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman said, she told Jesus, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, oh, Jesus said, can you give me a drink? Said, no, you know, we don't have any relationship with you. Jesus tells the woman, if you know who is asking you for water, he'll give you water that you'll never thirst. Oh, Jesus. Water that you'll never thirst. Can you imagine the Lord says, out of his belly, if he gives you the water to drink, Pastor Francis, that water goes and creates an oasis within you. And he says, out of his belly, there will be waters that will be flowing to other people, to yourself. And God's reminded me of a camel. Remember? A camel. You see, a camel has a big hump. When the camel is thirsty, first of all, it drinks water for itself, you know, to quench its thirst. When we are thirsty, you drink water for yourself. You don't have a hump. How many have a hump here? And you need to tell me where it is because I don't see it. Do you have a hump? A hump is that thing that is wuku, you know? Wuku. So, when it is done by itself, it stores water in the hump. So, you see, what do you call ngamia? It goes like this. There's no water. The other two animals are dying and going, water. There's no water in this desert. But the camel stored water in itself. And I can imagine some hares and some other desert animals can be asking Mr. Camel, Kwani wewe, you don't get thirsty? Oh, look at what I have on my back. That is where my water is stored. When you depend on that water, he says that I'll create cisterns of water. There will be a fountain that flows out of your heart. Amen? When other people are thirsty because of other things, your thirst is satisfied. God is calling on us to depend upon him. And finally, these soldiers came to Elisha and they thought that they had gotten him. He said, God, blind these people and I'll lead you into a city. And he led them, I know who you are looking for. And he led them into a city called Samaria. And when he got into Samaria with all this strong force and their chariots of fire and everything that they had, he said, God, now unblind them. And when they opened up their minds, guess what? They found themselves in White House. Can you imagine if the Iranians, God blinded them with Saddam Hussein? No, Saddam Hussein died. Who is the latest? The ISIS. If all ISIS now, the America is fighting ISIS. And he would chase them and tell them, oh, I have found the leaders and the battalion of ISIS in Syria. And then a man of God say, blind them. Follow me up. They get and get. They do not walk because in these days it's technology. They would get maybe into a warship, American warship. maybe take them to an airport, get inside a plane, you know, like a human carrier or something, and then they're still blind. And then they come to the White House or maybe Pentagon. And then they are surrounded by majesty. Lord, open up their eyes. And ISIS will be surprised to see, hiya, where are we? We are not in the wilderness. This is like paved ground and we can see armies and we can see the word Pentagon. And then the Pentagon, the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, no, he was resigned. It's another one. He calls President Obama and tells him, do we now kill these people? He said, no. We want to prove that, you know, the God that we serve, if you'd only believe in God anyway, the God that we serve is greater than their God. And you tell them, feed them. Huh? Feed them. Prove to them that we know we have the power to kill them. If they repeat it again, we can do it to them. Get them in the plane again and lead them back. And those people will say, man, I think we are fighting with people that can really get us around and they never killed us. The Bible says that from that time, they stopped fighting with the Israelites. Because, and then, you know, this is what I researched and found out. That every time God displayed his supernatural power to people, there was a period of peace after that. Yeah, it is true. There was a period of peace. When Samson, you remember Samson, how he killed so many people with a jawbone? And he wanted to avenge because his wife was taken. After he killed 1,000, in the book of Judges, if you read, the Bible says that he enjoyed a period of 20 years of peace with the Philistines. Amen? When Job went through all these things that he had gone through, there was a time of peace, a time of prosperity. I hear in 2015 that God wants to show himself and his power in an extraordinary way. Away from these mundane things that, God is doing great things. I know he's doing great things, but I want people to hear, oh, God healed a cripple in that church. God opened up a blind eye in that church. Oh, God has given them a miraculous building in that church. When there will be those extraordinary miracles in your lives, in our personal lives, then there will be a period of peace. Are you looking for a period of peace in your heart? Let me tell you, come here, Pastor Francis. Come here. I want you to see Pastor Francis as Jesus. Okay? Come here, Pastor. Will, come here. Come here. I want to demonstrate how we do. And come here, Esther. Okay, this is Jesus right now, right? This is exactly what happens. We all are born again if you're washed by the blood of Jesus. Okay, stay here. Stay here, my sister. And you stay here. And I will stay here. It's just in the proximity of all of us. Right? In other words, Jesus is available. You are born again, so you're blood washed, and any one of these people are also born again. All right? Now, I would like them to demonstrate what we do. Me, I'll be the guy who doesn't really, you know, I'm born again, and that's all. But these two guys have something different they would do. Okay, can we do that? Come on, do what I told you to do. Esther, you can do more. Yes. Yes. Okay. The demonstration may not really be coming so much. But what I intend for you to see is that Jesus is available for all of us. But the person who he is, who is seeking her more, who is seeking the Lord more, the Lord tends to be aggravated towards them because they are there's something that is drawing and calling out from her towards him. But it doesn't mean that the Lord has chased me away from his presence. If I want, I can still also do what Esther is. This other one is really worshiping, but he's really keeping not really that close. But, you know, he's still good. He's still good. He's coming to, you know, he wants to be there and he's coming to church cleaning. But here is what the Lord wants us to be. Are you listening to me? And you saw what Jesus did? He aggravated to the one who even was kneeling down and really seeking him to be like Mary. In 2015, be like a Mary. Thank you, brothers. Be like Mary. See, I was busy just talking on the phone, but that doesn't mean that the Lord has deserted me. If I want, I can also do what Esther was doing. The Bible says Mary has decided to do the best thing. And everything, Martha was worried about so many things. But the Lord said, Mary has chosen the right thing. Every word that comes out of the master's mouth. Let us cultivate a relationship on an individual basis. I'm not even calling for you to come to church. I want you to start in the morning, in your bed, beside your bed. Go home. When you go home, look for a place that you can make an altar. You know, I know your homes have a place you can seclude. It doesn't matter, it's a closet. There are people who have dedicated a closet to be their altar. For some of you, maybe might be beside your bed. For some of you, maybe might be in the bathroom. Because it's clean, I know that. If you don't have a place, you can make anywhere to be an altar. And let me tell you, God will honor you if you seek his face. Things will begin to explode into your lives. Amen? Are you listening to me? The Bible calls us in the book of Matthew, and I'm concluding now. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. Amen? Hear what the Bible says in Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Can you turn to somebody and tell them, I'm the salt of the earth? Please tell somebody you're the salt of the earth. Please tell them you're the salt of the earth. And the Bible says that if the salt loses its saltiness, you know, the salt can decide to be just be on that jar and you're eating food without salt. But unless you pick up that salt and put it in the food, that's when you're going to taste the salt, the flavor of the salt. But what would happen if you put the salt and you wonder, Kwani, this is salt I bought from Walmart. This salt is really tasteless. It doesn't make the food to have a flavor that it has salt. What are you going to do? Are you still going to put it in the salt jar? No, you're going to empty it. Actually, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take the salt dish and you're going to empty it into your trash can. And you're going to go to Walmart and buy another salt that has flavor, right? That's what you're going to do. And the Bible says, you are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody say amen. Stand on your feet. I want us to make a declaration, even as we jump into this year. A very short declaration. And I want, as I read these declarations, join your hands to somebody standing next to you. I would like you to say amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody needs to hold their hands with somebody in this congregation. Hold your hand to somebody. We are declaring that in 2015, greater things are going to happen to us. Amen? Hallelujah. We are going to declare Isaiah 54, verse number 17. And you're going to declare the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, beginning from verse 12. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you ready? As we get into 2015, Lord, we are grateful that you have been faithful to us in 2014. All our enemies have been defeated in 2014. And as we usher ourselves into 2015, Lord, we declare and decree that no weapon that is formed against us that shall prosper. We declare that every tongue that accuses us in judgment, we shall condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from the Lord, declares the Lord. In Deuteronomy 28, verse number 12, the Bible says that as we fully obey the Lord our God and carefully follow his commands, The Lord will set you high above the nations of the earth. We shall be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Somebody say amen. The fruit of our womb shall be blessed. Somebody say amen. And the crops of our land and our young and our livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks shall increase. Somebody say amen. Our jobs and our careers and our businesses shall flourish. Our finances will not only recover, but shall increase. Our basket and our kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when going out. May the Lord grant that the enemies who rise up against us to be defeated before us. They will come at us from one direction, but free from us in seven directions. May the Lord send our blessings to our bonds and on everything that we put our hands on. May the Lord God bless us in the land He is giving us. May the Lord God bless us in this great country called America. May the Lord bless us and prosper us in Dallas, Texas. Somebody say amen. May the Lord establish us as a holy people, as He has promised on oath. May we keep His commands of the Lord our God and walk in obedience to Him. Somebody say amen. May all the people of the earth see that we are called by His name, the name of our Lord. And they will fear you. They will fear the Lord. May the Lord grant you abundant prosperity. May the fruit of your womb be blessed. May the young of your livestock and the crops of your ground be blessed. May the Lord open up the heavens, the storehouses of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. Come on, say amen if you believe it. You will be a lender to many nations, but you will borrow from none. Somebody say amen. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you will pay attention to the commands of the Lord, I will give you this day then and follow them. You shall always be at the top. Somebody say amen. You shall never be at the bottom. Say amen. Do not turn aside from any of the commands that I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods. And the Lord shall bless us. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I want to declare, that's one final declaration about healing. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid any sickness or disease to come upon my body. Come on, say amen if you believe it. Every disease and every virus that touches my body shall die instantly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare every organ and every tissue in my body to function in the perfection to which God created it to perfection. I forbid any malfunction of my body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, through your word, you have imparted life into me. That life restores my body. With every breath I breathe and every word I speak, somebody say amen. Your word has become part of me. It is the flowing in my bloodstream. Somebody say amen. It flows to every cell of my body, restoring and transforming my health. Your word has become flesh, for you sent your word to heal me. Finally, my immune system grows stronger every day. I speak life to my immune system. I forbid confusion in my immune system. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me and quickens my immune system with the life and wisdom of God, with God's life and the health of my body. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, permeating His life through my veins, sending healing throughout my body. And the whole church said amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus our clap offering. He is faithful. The power that dwells in us is immense. Father, I declare a blessing over your children. In 2015, we shall walk in integrity. In 2015, we shall walk in power. In 2015, there will be miracles. In 2015, there will be signs. and wonders. In 2015, nobody shall be poor. In Empowerment Christian Center, you are sending ways and means of them to be prosperous. Everybody among us shall be rich. No bill shall go unpaid in 2015. I declare money. I call on money to come from the north to the south. I declare money to come from the west. I declare money to come from the east in the name of Jesus. Prosperity cometh, wealth cometh, money cometh in the name of Jesus. We shall be lenders to many and borrowers to none in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We so declare that we shall be prosperous in America. We shall be prosperous in our community. We shall be prosperous in our region. We shall be prosperous in all that you put in our mouths, to the glory and honor of your name. And as we usher ourselves in 2015, no weapon that is fashioned against us that shall prosper in the name of Jesus. No weapon that is fashioned against us that shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give Jesus a mighty hand clap offering. Thank you, Lord. 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 We give you praise and we give you glory in the name of Jesus. No more walking in mediocrity. We shall be men and women of God, like the men of Elijah, like men Elisha, who used to know the secrets of the kingdom of Aram. Father God, you shall give us the secrets of one another, that we may pray for them, that we may help them out. We shall be pullers of people out of holes and giving them a prosperous life in the name of Jesus. We shall be crying shoulders. People, we shall be people who people shall use as crying shoulders. We shall be used as launching pads by people to go into the next level of their destiny in the name of Jesus. Bless this church, Father. Bless this congregation. Bless these families, my Lord. Bless our children. Bless the ladies. Bless the fathers. Bless the everybody. Bless us, God. We want to be in your presence to the glory and honor of your name. We give you praises, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this believing and trusting in Jesus' precious name. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Glory, 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 glory to the King. Glory to the Lord. Thank you so much. I wish all of you a Merry Christmas is gone. A happy new year. A year filled with God. A year filled with prosperity. Finally, you know that January is normally our prayer and fasting month. Would like to faithfully begin the year with a high note. Amen. I have organized so that Brother Kimodo and Sister Catherine and Brother Sam and Joe, they'll be able, and Pastor, of course, Pastor Chi, they'll be able to help us organize for this prayer meeting. We want each and every one of us to take a day. We've actually been doing that with a few of us, but I would like everybody to participate. So I'm quickly going to ask you, how many of you can take a Monday to pray and fast? Just praying for the church. And we are going to send you the things that we need to pray for in 2015. How many? You can sit down just a little bit, please. This is a quick one, and then we are going to get out of here. Monday. There are people who are already taking Monday. Thank you, Ben. Thank all of you. Monday. Thank you. I would like you to be faithful in taking Monday. Tuesday. Which people can take? At least every day should be taken. Joseph, is Tuesday? Okay. If Joseph can take Tuesday, anybody can take Tuesday. Okay. Lift up Tuesday. At least we have some people taking Tuesday. Thank you very much. Wednesday. I'm one of the Wednesdays. Anybody can take Wednesday to pray and fast? Wednesday? Okay. Wednesday. Thursday? Thank you. Thursday. Thank you very much. Friday. Friday. Thank you very much. Saturday. Saturday? Thank you. At least we have somebody on Saturday. Okay, Sunday. Oh, thank you. Oh, Kimoda's daughter. Do we have anybody Sunday? Okay, we have Sunday. So every day is covered. Now, this is what is going to happen. Every Friday, we shall be logging in. If you have an opportunity for the day that you pray and fast and you find time to come to the church, this place will be open. We'll make arrangements for this place to be open so that you can come.
But every Friday, we shall be logging in prayer between 7 and 8 so that we can pray together for just 1 hour. So we'll send this, the teleconference information. So 7 to 8, if you're not at work, you can log in, you can mute your phone so that we can be together every week. And our prayer shall start on the 5th of January, and we shall go through to 30th of January. So we shall come here for a cash on that end of January to culminate and to thank God. If there are things that the Lord would have spoken to us, then we'll be able to know on the 30th of January. So I'll WhatsApp the prayer agenda. So be faithful, and Brother Kimotho and the team that I told you will be coordinating the prayer meeting. And as we do that, the Lord bless you. Now, this coming Wednesday, I'll be leaving for Kenya. I'm going home for about 2.5 weeks. I'll be back on the 20th. I would like you guys to be praying for me. I'm going to see my parents and, my folks. So be praying for me. I'll be praying with you. If you need anything, you can call Catherine. You can call Pastor Francis. You can call Sam, Joe, or you can call Pastor Chi. If there's an emergency that really, really, really I need to be involved in, you can get my contact. I can call you or just call my wife, and then I'll just, communicate, and I'll be able to call you from Kenya. Amen? Amen. May the Lord God bless you. Be praying for you. Be praying for me, and the Lord bless you. Brother Sam, please. Hallelujah.